Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry is delighted to bring you the Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, where we test the beliefs of Christianity against the very words of Jesus that he gave his own eyewitness disciples. Join us for a unique and challenging study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Hello, hello everyone. My name is Dennis Neufeld, and I am here with the Spirit of Truth Ministry team getting ready for another program entitled The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. We are about to get started, but before we do that, a couple of things. First of all, you'll notice that the sound quality is a lot better than it was last couple of times, and yesterday I worked on my mix board and discovered that the number one channel is shot. And so we have gone to a different channel on that. So we're left with three, and that should be enough. And hopefully you can hear us really well. We also have a website, and that website is at spiritoftruthministry.net. There you will find a book entitled The Spirit of the Church, which is what I started to say mistakenly. Spirit of the Church was written and was published in 2007 and written in a year or so before that, and it defines a principle understanding of Spirit of Truth Ministry, and we encourage you to go to our website and take a look at it. We also have a secondary website, our original website, which is located at spiritoftruthministry.net/S, T, M. There you will find a lot of historical information. You'll find links to our shows. You will find a book page. It's called the New Book Page. And on the margins, you will be able to read about how the book was published and what we went through to get it finally published. And it is, frankly, an interesting story about how God works. And in this case, it wasn't in such mysterious ways. It was actually kind of with a sledgehammer. So we are glad that you've taken a few minutes out of your busy schedule to join us today. Let's have, oh, by the way, today is June 13, 2020. Let's have prayer. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, put peace in our hearts today, even though the world is going mad. Thank you for giving us a foundation upon which we can build our trust and help us to really eliminate the idea of faith in our lives, because the more trust we have, the less faith we need. And I thank you, Father, for granting us the will to learn the truth, even when it means getting rid of some of the closely held beliefs that we have. I thank you for doing all of this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning.
And good morning, Larry.
Good morning.
And as soon as it, good morning, Dr. Don.
Good morning. Good morning.
How are you today, Don?
Pretty good. Wide-eyed and bushy-tailed, ready for the study.
Good.
Good. Yes.
It's good to have Larry here.
Yeah, Larry's in-house. This is wonderful. The next, we'll try to get Don to come up here when he feels comfortable with it, and we'll be all back to normal.
So who's all in the house this morning? Are you all together this morning?
Yeah, Larry's here, Rick is here, and you are
welcome.
Wow,
that's cool.
Yeah, we survived the pandemic. It was close.
Oh, it was, boy, I'm telling you, it Oh, never mind. We won't go into that.
Hey, Larry, what?
We jumped out of the pandemic and into the fire. Frying pan.
The frying pandemic into the fire.
Okay, that said, as I said yesterday, we are learning a subject. The information in this subject is critical for our salvation. I guarantee that you will not hear this anywhere else, anywhere in the world. And if any of our listeners do hear this somewhere else,
let us know.
Please let us know. Trust and faith and the gospel of the kingdom. Let's start again in the garden. The garden was a holy precinct. It was where the man and the woman were, well, it was their home, given to them by God, and they would be allowed to live there as long as they obeyed the one command that God gave them. They were never to eat from one certain tree in the middle of the garden.
They were separated. This is a separate precinct. It is a separate location taken out of the world.
A holy precinct.
Yes. And you see, there were other people living in the world at the time.
And why was it a holy precinct? Well, because it had the tree of life. It had the tree of life where a human, flesh and blood human, could, if they had a problem, a disease that might
shorten their life,
they could eat from this tree and be healed. Or, as it would seem, because in Revelation it says that the leaves of the tree of life are for the healing of the nations. So they could make tea from the leaves. The man and the woman did not trust God. Unfortunately, they did not trust God. How do I know that? Because they disobeyed God and ate from the tree. And why would they eat from the tree that they had been told not to eat from? Because the serpent suggested in very strong terms, they couldn't trust God. He said if they would eat from that tree, he would put them to death on that very day. And the serpent said, oh, no, 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 he won't. He's keeping something from you that will elevate your being, and you will become as the God. We know how that turned out. Fast forward to Egypt, around 1437 BCE. Moses is standing in Pharaoh's palace. 9 plagues the land of Egypt. 9 horrible plagues. And they are about ready to have one more. This one will be the one that will cause Pharaoh to sign the release for the offspring, the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That night, the death angel went through the land of Egypt and put to death every firstborn of the flock, of the herd, and of the household. From the lowliest, from the firstborn of the lowliest slave in the quote-unquote stable, right up to the house of Pharaoh, the son in line to succeed the Pharaoh. In the land of what is called Goshen, the Nile Delta, where the Israelites lived, they didn't suffer a death of the firstborn, because they did what Moses told them to do so that their firstborn of the flock, of the herd, and of the household would not be executed. Did the Israelites learn anything from this? Sadly, not. That night they were instructed, or that evening they were instructed to slaughter, execute a lamb that the household had procured from their flock and had been meticulously scrutinized to make sure it was perfect with no defects whatsoever. The meat of that lamb was to be roasted and eaten on that night. Did the Israelites learn what that meant? Sadly, they didn't. That night when the release was issued and the Israelites, who had been instructed to have their cloaks on, their sandals on, their staff in their hand, eat standing up, so that as soon as the edict came, they would leave. A massive multitude of people left that night. All of the Israelites and many of the mixed nationalities that were living in Egypt. It seems that the blood of the Passover lamb was good for them too.
Go figure.
God led them by a cloud. Cloud of light by day and a cloud of fire by night. He led them to the bank of the Red Sea. He was about ready to have a baptismal service. He was going to baptize the whole entire multitude. Why? Well, because after you have made the commitment to learn about God by eating the flesh of the Passover lamb, taking the pure, unblemished spirit of the perfect lamb that you have sacrificed, and it was sacrificed by the head of the household, by the way. You've had the debt of execution by God, by the death angel, paid. You see, the reason that the firstborn was not killed by the death angel that night was the Passover lamb had been killed in their stead. The blood of that lamb had been painted on the doorpost and the lintel. And as the household walked out through that door, they passed through the blood of the Passover lamb. And the death of the lamb was the payment for their death by execution. With the Egyptian army hot on their heels, God stopped them when the cloud that had been leading the Israelites moved from the front of the people to behind the people and became thick blackness to the Egyptian army. They couldn't see their hand in front of their face. It was so dark. But on the other side, to the group that had recently been released from servitude, it was light. Did the people learn anything from this? Unfortunately, they didn't. They were scared to death. How could they trust God? How could they know that God was trustworthy? Hadn't he just poured out 10 plagues on Egypt that the gods of Egypt could do nothing about? Hadn't they just been released? God had promised their forefathers this would happen. He told their father Abraham this would happen. But how could they trust him? How could they know that he's trustworthy? Moses prayed. God told Moses what to do. He stretched out his staff over the water of the Red Sea, and lo and behold, with an east wind, God piled up the water on both sides. Dry land appeared, and the multitude passed through the water over to the other side. God had effectively baptized them because they had passed through the water. Out on the other side, as the multitude looked out over the gaping causeway through the Red Sea, and they saw the Egyptian army in hot pursuit. Again, they were petrified with fear. Certainly they were going to die. Did they learn anything? Sadly, not. And then the waters closed in on the mightiest army in the world at that time and destroyed it completely. Oh, they breathed a sigh of relief. The walls of water had come together at the right time. Did they learn anything? Sadly, not. I could go on and tell you time after time after time after time after time after time, God was trying to teach them, making it obvious that he was trying to teach them. Did they learn anything? Sadly, not. In the wilderness, they got hungry. They got really hungry. They were famished. And God must have decided that he couldn't deal with these people or something because they needed some food. And so they beseeched Moses to pray and ask God for food or they were all going to die. God gave them manna. They didn't know what it was, so that's what they called it. What is it? That's what manna means. He gave them bread from heaven. They had instructions, specific instructions of what they were to do with it. Only take as much as you can, as you need in a day for your family to eat, for your household to eat. You use it like flour and you make cakes. On the sixth day of the week, you gather twice as much because there will not be any on the seventh day of the week. That is the holy day of God, the day of rest. If you should decide that you want to gather more on any other day of the week than you need, it will be full of worms, so you can't eat it. Did they learn anything? Sadly, not. What was God trying to teach them anyway? I mean, why didn't God make it obvious? Well, he did. He made it very obvious. But you need to have attentive learners who want to learn. God gave them bread from heaven to satisfy their great hunger. Each day they went out to make sure that God had provided for them so they wouldn't get hungry. But God gave them bread that was far more important than the manna. This bread also came from heaven. It was dictated to Moses and he wrote it down. And it is, as we know it, by its common name, the law. The words of the law are far more important than the manna on the ground. Why? Because you could starve to death if you didn't have manna. But the words of the law, well, yeah, you can, you know, you can read them and they're good. And the Son of God made a statement that I find profound. And he said it to the leading theologians of the Jews. And did they hear him? Sadly, not. He said, your fathers ate the manna in the desert. And he didn't say, and they died. He said, they are dead. And you say, what's the difference? Oh, there's a lot of difference. Did they learn anything? Sadly, not. They were clueless. You see, what the Son of God was teaching them was the food you put in your mouth to satisfy the hunger of your stomach will not give you eternal life. In fact, any food you put in your mouth, any drink you put in your mouth will not give you eternal life. You see, the multitude of people in the desert were only concerned about their body's hunger when it was their, when they were starving their soul, and they did they realize that? Sadly, not. The food for their soul is called the law. And Moses read the law to them, and it was, oh, this is boring. What did he say? How can he say that? Why, that sounds morbid. Ah. Oh, well, at least I have some manna to eat. And the water is flowing from the rock. As long as that keeps going, I can put up with what's happening around here. When God took them to Kadesh Barnea, ready to enter the promised land, which is what they had wanted to do. God was going to clear the promised land of all of its inhabitants. He had promised Moses that's what he was going to do. They stood on the border of the promised land, and what did they want to do? They wanted to reconnoiter the land and see if it was possible to be taken at all. Had they learned anything? Sadly, not. When the 10 spies came back and said it was impossible, that indeed the land was flowing with milk and honey, but it would be impossible to even think they would have a ice cube chance in hell of driving any of those people out, that what God had done is had given them an empty promise and brought them to the border of the land and let them see there was no possible way that they could clear the land of any of those people. And they were right. But it wasn't them that was going to be clearing the land. It was God. And if they had just thought, our God just humiliated the gods of Egypt. humiliated them. And he showed that he was the most powerful God. He's the only true God. But had they learned that? Sadly, not. And they died in the wilderness, and their soul was dead also. And that's what the Son of God is saying. Your fathers ate manna, but they didn't eat the law. And you're throwing the law in my face, and you don't know the law any more than they knew the law.
And, Rick, they died in abject poverty and disappointment.
And who did they blame?
They blamed God.
Had they learned anything?
Not hardly.
Sadly, not. Centuries went by. God drove them out of the land. Why? Because very few in the land had come to know God, had done what God had said. So we have the man and the woman in the garden. Did they trust God? No. We have the multitude in the wilderness who had come out of Egypt, who had witnessed powerful miracles. There should have been no doubt in their mind that their God, this God who was wanting them to come to know him, and he had given them the information so that by learning that information in the law, they would know him and trust him because they knew him. But they went into captivity. Why? Because they refused to learn the truth about their God. And ultimately, when the Messiah, the anointed king of the kingdom of God, is standing in front of the religious experts, the scholars, the credentialed theologians, the teachers of the law. They had tweaked the law to make it more palatable for them and more powerful, giving them more power over the people than the original law had done. And they said that Moses had given them this law. In John chapter 6, starting with verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw signs, the miracles, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." What does that sound like? I mean, what is he saying there? You're not here because I did miracles. You're here because you ate the bread, the loaves that I broke and fed over 5,000 people with five loaves of bread and two fish. You're not here because I was able to work such a marvelous miracle. You're here because I gave you enough bread to eat so you were full. You see how he's setting them up. He's trying to get them to understand something that their forefathers never learned. In order to enter the kingdom of God, you need to change your priority from eating bread from the earth and eat the bread from the heavens. Because all the earth offers you is earth, is world, is tied here to this earth, and it can never get you into the kingdom of the heavens, the kingdom of God, because you're filling yourself with food from the earth, and you need to fill your soul with food from heaven. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they are dead. You see, he made a statement. We find it in Matthew 13, I believe. He was talking about God and who God is. I'm going to have it here, but I don't know if I can find it right away. He said that God is the God of the living, not the God of the dead, not the God of the dead. When he said, your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they are dead. He didn't say, and they died. He said, they are dead. Turn to Revelation chapter 20, starting with verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place were found for them. And I saw the dead. Doesn't say I saw those who had died. It says, I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. Now that's interesting. If these people were dead, how could they be standing before the throne? Because obviously, these people, many of whom had died, but they died with an empty soul. And those who die with an empty soul, a soul that has not been filled with truth, have a dead soul. And even though God has brought them back to life so that they are alive, they are not living. And there's a difference. And books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the Book of Life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to what they had done. And I would say what they had failed to do. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, and they are dead. When we come into the world and start our life of learning, as an infant and a toddler, a youngster, an adolescent, and a youth, what do we do during all that time? Well, we learn the things of earth, pretty much. Even our quote-unquote spiritual training is earthbound from the earth, because it's lies. And lies don't come from the heavens. Lies come from the earth. Lies are spiritual and are represented as rotten fruit, spoiled fruit, sour fruit, poisonous fruit. Fruit that comes from the heavens is seed that has been planted that is not earthly seed but heavenly seed. Words of truth. Words of truth that are planted in the soul and they take root and grow. Yesterday we talked about the living water that the Son of God offered the woman at the well. And what did he say? If you had only known the one who's asking you for a drink, if you had only known. And then to his disciples who come back with bread and they, Master, eat. And what did he say? I have bread you don't know about. On the night of the Last Supper, the Son of Man wrapped a towel around himself and went around to wash the disciples' feet. Peter said, no, 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 you will never wash my feet. Well, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you're not clean. Oh, well, then, don't not only my feet, but my hands and my head and, you know, everything. Anyone who's taken a bath only needs to wash his feet. Had his disciples learned anything? Sadly, not as much as they needed to. not work for food which perishes. John 6:27. There it is. There it is. Do not work for food which perishes, but for food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give to you. For on him the Father, even God, has set his seal. He tried and tried. He was as obvious as he could possibly be to stress the importance of spiritual food over food from the earth. The food from the heavens will give you eternal life. The food from the earth, well, it will never give you life. And it will never give you a living soul. And your soul will be dead. So that when you die and the resurrection comes, you won't be in the first. You will be in the second. Why? Because that's when the dead souls are resurrected. And they're resurrected to face judgment. They said therefore to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? I know that was your question, right? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. Oh, well, that's good. Yeah, I believe in you. I believe that you can do miracles. Well, you've demonstrated that. And I believe that, you know, you're a good man. You help the sick and the lame. You feed a multitude with very little food, but everybody has enough to eat to the full. I believe in you, but wait a minute. He's not talking about belief in earthly things. He's talking about belief in heavenly things. Belief in what he is saying. Verse 33, for the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. And then in verse 41, he says, I am the bread that came down out of heaven. And this upset the Jews. How can he be bread? Why, we know he didn't come out of heaven. We know his father and his mother. He came from the earth. He was born here on the earth. We know his mother. We know his father. It's interesting because not too long later, they say he doesn't have a father that anyone knows. Verse 45, he says this, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Teaching is feeding spiritual food. They shall all be taught of God. everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that any man has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven, so that one may eat it and not die. Did they learn anything? In verse 43, Jesus answered and said to them, verse 39 and 40. And this is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up at the last day. What the gospel of the kingdom is the method and the teaching that the Son of Man used to impress upon the people the critical importance of the spiritual food he was teaching them. The spiritual food that he was teaching them is the gospel of the kingdom. So what did the devil do? Well, we can go to the parable of the wheat and the tares. The good seed are the sons of the kingdom. The good seed is the spiritual food that the Son of Man planted. And the bad seed, the darnel, is the spiritual food that the devil planted after the Son of Man planted his good seed. And both grew together to the harvest. The harvest is the judgment. All those who have a dead soul will be judged and receive judgment. All those with a living soul will not be judged, because their name is not written in the book of records. Their name is written in the book of life. And the book of life records every name of every individual who fed their soul the truth and thereby filled it with life Those who insist on feeding their soul with death, lies, will end up with a dead soul. And the outcome of that is, well, the soul of the dead is like ether. Ether is highly flammable. And when fire comes close to ether, it is completely burnt up. Nothing is left of the ether.
Ether is also, in larger quantities, toxic, and ether will put you to sleep.
Did the disciples learn anything? Well, I can't make a truthful statement on that. I do know that Matthew and John wrote down what they heard honestly and faithfully, and the Holy Spirit brought to their memory the words the Son of God spoke in his teaching. I'm reserving judgment on that. Not that I'm able to judge anyone. I'm just making an observation from the record. I do know there were many, most of the Israelites, that never learned what God was doing everything in his ability to do to teach them. But the devil was always able to take control of the information and insert his own narrative, because he did that in the garden quite successfully. We are in the end of days right now, where we are in a transition period. Are we going to learn anything? I think a lot of us will. I have hope for the future. And my hope is I'm not wrong. But my trust is in God, and I think he has a positive future for us after we go through this turmoil right now brought about by the devil and his insurrectionists. Eat the spiritual food from heaven, the truth, and your soul will live.
Thank you, Rick, and thank you all for being here today. We encourage you to go to our Blog Talk Radio site, the episode page. There you will you can see and download any number of over 1,100 programs over the past years. We also encourage you to go to our primary website at spiritoftruthministry.net and take a look around there. We want you to join us next Friday for another edition of the Bible on Trial at 10 a.m. and a week from today on Sabbath for another edition of the Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis Neufeld saying so long for now. Have a blessed Sabbath, and we'll see you all next week.